For scripture reading, we turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45, thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come, concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price or reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, and chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell me, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. As far we read in God's inspired word. Consider this morning the teaching of that word as it set forth in Lord's Day 11, teaching of the whole of the Word of God, including also Isaiah 45. Lord's Day 11, why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? They do not, for though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, either that Jesus is not a complete Savior, or they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. With this Lord's Day, beloved, we begin the subsection of the Catechism entitled Of God the Son. You remember, this subsection is part of the second main section of the Catechism, which begins with Lord's Day 5 and is entitled Of Man's Deliverance. This is the second from the second section of the Catechism regarding our deliverance. That is, then, within the second main section of the Catechism, there's another division, subdivision, according to the Trinity. Reminded of that as we look once again at question and answer 24. How are these articles divided? Into three parts. The first is of God the Father and our creation. The second, of God the Son and our redemption. The third, of God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. We are, as we said, in that second part, of God the Son and our redemption. Take note of that phrase, God the Son. That's what we consider here in this section. God the Son. So although this Lord's Day talks about Jesus and the name Jesus and the meaning of that name Jesus and the person whom we know as Jesus, this Lord's Day is about God. It's about God as Jesus, or God in Jesus, as Jesus, our Savior. We're reminded then by that it is God, God alone, who is our Savior and saves us. Reminded of that this morning then, or we will be reminded of that this morning as we consider this Lord's Day under the theme, Jehovah, our Savior. Jehovah, the Savior. First of all, in Jesus. Secondly, none else. Could not have missed as we read through Isaiah 45. I'm sure no one could have missed the repetition. And there is none else. God speaking, saying, I am God, I am Savior, and there is none else. There's where we get our second point, none else. And then thirdly, looked upon. We should not think of God and His salvation of us in this way, that God Triune, Jehovah God, is a God of wrath toward us, is angry against us, and Jesus, the Savior, steps in and appeases that angry God. I understand there's something to that. There's some truth brought out with that presentation, but there's something very significant missing as well. And that is that we're better to view it that God Triune loves us and saves us Himself by God Triune, Jehovah, giving to us a Savior. It's God Triune, who saves us in His Son, in Jesus Christ. And that is what we find also in Isaiah 45. Verse 21, we read, God speaking, Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient times? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord, and there's the word Jehovah, have not I, the Lord, or Jehovah, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? God is saying, I am Jehovah, I am God, and I am, a Savior. The same the Lord brings out in verses 24 and 25 of the same chapter. Surely one shall say, in the Lord, that is, in Jehovah, have I righteousness and strength. And again, verse 25, in the Lord, or in Jehovah, shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. It is God, Jehovah, who justifies, who saves His people. Jehovah saves us in the sense of redemption. That's especially what we focus upon this morning. Redemption as Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, As triune God, Jehovah saves us. As mighty God, Jehovah saves us. With all of His omnipotence at His disposal, He is the God who saves us. As the covenant God, reminded again that that name Jehovah means that God is a covenant God, a God unchanging, a God faithful to His covenant promise. As our covenant God, Jehovah God, saves us. He saves us from our sins, from our guilt, the guilt which is ours by virtue of belonging to the human race, original guilt, as well as the guilt for the sins which we have actually committed in our life. Guilt is once again liability to punishment. If that guilt is not absolved, is not taken away, then the one who is guilty is punished. Guilt means liability to punishment, that is, the punishment of death, the punishment of the wrath of God against that sin and that guilt, indeed, even hell itself. God has saved us from our guilt, and therefore God has saved us from death, from His own wrath, and from hell. God saves us from ourselves. We could look at it from that point of view too. If God did not save us, and we were left to ourselves, we would destroy ourselves. We would carry on in our sin. We would carry on in our unrepentance. We would carry on as guilty and be justly punished everlastingly. God saves us from what we would do to ourselves. God saves us from the devil and what he would have us to do and the bondage that he would keep us in. And we refer now especially to the bondage of impenitence and the bondage of unbelief, refusing to believe and trust in God alone as Savior. God saves us from the devil. He saves us, God does, Jehovah does, by removing our guilt, by taking away that stain, that blot which is upon us on account of sin. He saves us also by granting us righteousness, imputing it to us, calling it ours, though not earned by us. It's His own righteousness, but His own righteousness as the pure and righteous holy God, His own righteousness that He imputes to us, gives over into our account as if it were ours, so that He changes our state. Changes our state. Again, He changes also our condition. That is, who and what we are, what we're like, He changes that too. This morning, we think especially of the fact that He changes our state. By that we mean our legal state. When we refer to state, we're speaking of legal things, our legal standing before God. He moves us from the line of those who are condemned unto death. He moves us from that line of humanity, condemned unto death, legally now, over to the company of those who are heirs of eternal life. That God does. God does. He changes us from enemies to friends. Jehovah Himself has done this. Jehovah is our Savior. And He has done this, beloved, as Jesus. Heidelberg Catechism says that the Son of God, the incarnated Son of God, that's especially what the Catechism is referring to here, not simply the second person as He exists within the Trinity, but that one who is the second person of the Trinity, incarnated now, a man. The Catechism says He's called Jesus, that is, a Savior. So the Catechism already gives us an indication of what Jesus means. He is Jesus, that is, a Savior. But the word Jesus does not mean only Savior. In fact, the word Jesus is made up of two words, not simply one, so that it can be rendered only Savior, but made up of two words. The second of those two words is indeed the word Savior, as the Catechism indicates. The first of those two words is the word Jehovah. Jehovah. J-E, short for Jehovah, S-U-S, a form of the word Savior. Jesus, then, can mean Jehovah's Savior. Jehovah's Savior. The two words can fit together that way. And certainly, there's meaning, important meaning, brought across in fitting the two words together that way. He is, after all, Jehovah's Savior, the triune God's Savior. He belongs to Jehovah. In that sense, He's Jehovah's Savior. He belongs to Jehovah. He's sent from God, sent from Jehovah. In that sense, He's Jehovah's Savior, sent down to the earth. He does Jehovah's will. How often didn't He speak of that? I come not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He serves Jehovah's covenant, Jehovah's kingdom. And He saves the Lord's people, Jehovah's people, as Jehovah's Savior. In viewing the name that way, we can see that Jehovah is our Savior. God saves us by His Savior that He has provided for us. But I'm convinced that the meaning is better thought of this way: Jehovah as Savior. But that's the best way to fit these two words together, Jehovah and the word Savior. We understand it this way: Jehovah as Savior. That's who this Jesus is. Not only one appointed by Jehovah to be Jehovah's Savior, but Jehovah Himself as Savior, come into the world to save His own. We can understand that and see that as reflected in the Scripture, Matthew chapter 1. For example, Matthew chapter 1, we read, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus." We're not told what the two words mean there, but simply what the effect of Him being called Jesus is, why He is called Jesus: "For He shall save His people from their sins." And then we read, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God is with us in this Jesus. And especially important to notice the first words of verse 22. Now all this was done. What was done? That which was revealed in the previous verses. Verses 18 through 21. Chiefly two things. All this was done means, first of all, the incarnation. The Son of God was incarnated, was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Secondly, also what was done was His being called Jesus, His being named Jesus. All that was done. So that, as verse 22 and 23 brings out, so that this one who is incarnated, named Jesus, may be known and understood to be the one who's named Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is described here. The name is set out here as being equivalent to, nothing less than, the name Emmanuel, God with us. So the name Jesus especially then means, essentially means, God with us. And so it does, as understood, as Jehovah as Savior. God the triune God, Jehovah God, the God of the Old Testament, that greatest name of the God of the Old Testament, Jehovah, now with His Israel, now with His people, as their Savior. Jehovah with us as Savior, not as judge, not as avenger, not as executioner, but as Savior. God, Jehovah, was born to save us in Jesus Christ. God suffered, died, was buried to save us. God in the human nature, as joined to the human nature, suffered and was buried. We find that, the teaching of that rather striking thought, in the Belgic Confession, Article 19. But these two natures, meaning the human nature and the divine nature, these two natures are so closely united in one person, in Jesus, that they were not separated even by His death. Therefore, that which He, when dying, commended unto the hands of His Father was a real human spirit departing from His body. But in the meantime, the divine nature always remained united with the human, even when He lay in the grave. And the Godhead did not cease to be in Him any more than it did when He was an infant, though it did not so clearly manifest itself for a while. Jehovah, God, in Jesus, is truly our Savior. And there is none else. There is none else. Verse 21 of Isaiah 45 speaks that way. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Verse 22 again, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. None else. There is no other God. There is no other God who can save, is the meaning. There's no other God. All the rest are but idols, wooden idols. There's only one God, and therefore if there is only one God, there is no other God but for Jehovah, then there is no other God who can save. Isaiah 45, the prophet, God himself brings that out also in this chapter. Verse 20, for example, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. They pray unto a God, who pray unto a God other than Jehovah, pray unto a God that cannot save. There is no other God as Savior but Jesus, Jehovah God, the only God as Savior. Only one Savior is there. Only one God as Savior in Jesus. Catechism says, and likewise, we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. There's no salvation in any other, for there is no other Savior but for Jesus, Jehovah, as Savior. There's no salvation then found in other saints. The Catechism mentions that in question 30. Saints, and by that they're thinking of the abhorrent practice of the Roman Catholic Church to direct their members to pray to various people that they have sainted, that they have declared to be exceptionally holy and therefore have exceptionally close place with God, whereby they can use their position to the advantage of the one who comes to them, who seeks help in them. The Catechism rightly says, in harmony with all the Word of God, that vain folly, that sinful, false teaching leads away from Christ, from Jesus, from Jehovah as Savior. There is no salvation in saints. Not of ourselves either, the Catechism adds. Not of ourselves, not of our will, do we find salvation and receive salvation. I cannot function as my own Savior, and you cannot function as your own Savior by desiring to be saved, and either by that sheer desire to be saved, actually be saved, or by that desire to be saved, adding that together with Jesus, so that the two together save you, save me, not by our will, not by our works are we saved. Again, not of ourselves, not by anything I do or you do that we can do either instead of Christ or in addition to Christ. Nothing that we can do can save us, can cause us to be guilt-free, change our state, our legal standing, apply to ourselves or gain for ourselves righteousness. There is none else. But me, says God, who is your Savior, not either can we save ourselves by the merits of our faith. Our faith cannot gain to us and earn for us salvation any more than any other activity or work that we do. Faith is not something that God looks at and says, well, I'll take that instead of all the keeping of the law, instead of all the good works you might be able to muster and to bring before me. I'll take the goodness of your faith in place of the righteousness of your works. Now by our baptism are we saved. Now by our place in the church, our membership in the church, at least from an external point of view, are we saved? Only by Jehovah Jesus as Savior are we saved. Now by anything else, the Catechism adds, don't seek salvation anywhere else, meaning there's no salvation in anything or anyone else apart from yourself or other saints. The church cannot save. The preaching cannot save apart from the power of God, apart from the Lord using it, apart from Jesus Christ. Other creatures cannot save us. Money cannot save us. Pleasure cannot save us. The joys and satisfactions of life here in this world cannot save us. Only God, only Jehovah, only God in Jesus. Then the Catechism instructs us not to seek salvation or our good welfare in any other. And the Catechism instructs us, don't seek salvation in any other apart from God in Jesus, Jehovah as Savior, because you won't find salvation in any other. Don't seek it elsewhere. You only find it in Jesus, Jehovah as Savior. But do receive this Savior. Find in Him all things necessary to your salvation. That's the Catechism. That's the language, very language of the Catechism. One of these two things must be true, either that Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. The way the Lord speaks of that in Isaiah 45 is this way, verse 22. Beautiful verse. I understand the Lord in His infinite wisdom used to convert the great preacher Charles Spurgeon. Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, all my elect throughout all the world, throughout all of the earth, hear this, look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God. There is none else, there is no other Savior, don't look anywhere else. Look unto me, meaning look unto me as Savior, look unto me as Jesus. That's in the imperative. That's God's command. That's God's calling to His children. Authoritative calling, efficacious calling, delightful calling to God's elect. Look unto me. Literally, the word means turn and look. The implication there, you understand, don't you? Turn away from all the other things that you might gaze upon, that you might look upon, that you might seek to find salvation in. Turn away from that. Turn to me. What a beautiful picture. God in Christ stands before us and says, look, turn to me, gaze upon me, look at me, and be saved. That's it. That's all. Don't do anything else. Don't lift one finger as you look. Don't move. First, look. Look unto Him. That look refers to the believing of faith. Not faith as meritorious. We've talked about that already. But faith as the instrument that God gives to us whereby we can see. Whereby we're able to behold things otherwise unseen. Whereby we're able to look upon Jesus Christ, the Savior. Whereby we're able to see God in Christ, in Jesus, as Savior. That's God's calling to us. Just look by faith upon me in Jesus as your Savior. And your heart will know you are saved. Saved in the sense of forgiven of all your sins. We know salvation, the word can be used to mean various things, can't it? Don't mean here, look upon Christ and be saved in the sense of look upon Christ and then God will regenerate you. I don't mean that. Look upon Christ and then God will elect you. Of course not. Look upon Christ and be saved in this sense. You will know all your sins are forgiven through Him and His righteousness is yours by free and gracious imputation. Look unto me and be ye saved by God, God alone, in Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, and we thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee that Thou hast come unto us in Him. Marvelous wonder, glorious grace, tremendous blessing, perfect salvation in none else but Jesus, our Savior, none else but in Thee, Jehovah, our covenant God, as our Savior. Grant us, Father, powerful faith. Thou hast given us, as Thy people, Thou hast given us that principle of faith. Thou hast given us the bond. Thou hast given us the activity. Now increase our faith, that we may look upon Thee in Jesus and be saved and be assured and filled with peace and joy by that great salvation. We thank Thee, Father, for granting us Him and granting us the Word which directs us, calls us unto Him, mighty, efficacious. It never shall return unto Thee void, but always that Word accomplishes Thy purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.